And now, with thanks to Bright Ideas Lighting, Talbot Avenue at Lone. Building or renovating? They work with you to create a bespoke lighting plan for your home. Brightideas.ie. Shocked Na Gaeilge's nearly over. It ends on Paddy's Day. That's the longest Shocked ever, you might quite rightly say. August in Isher, Ballaglore, Natira, Cade, Isitree. Tofar, fix it down. So, that's all from me. Brian O'Clun on Shaw.
Now, I'm all for Shocked Na Gaeilge, but still, it does bring you back to the classroom in the most unpleasant way.
It's quite incredible how much it just still gives me the shivers. And I mean, I am a big advocate of people using Irish. I wish I could use more of it. And I think it is part of our heritage. And now, I don't think it should be compulsory at the second half, the second level and all that. I don't agree with that. But I do think it's great that we have a lot of people who will use our native tongue. But
have you ever
it still gives me the shivers.
Would you be a Star Trek fan?
No, it would be a Trekkie. I'd watch, you know, if it's on, I wouldn't turn it off.
My daughter watches it now, and she has heard people speaking Klingon. And she observed how Klingon resembles Irish.
Really? That guttural?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Gochlaw.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway.
I thought for a minute you were going to say, because I mean, if kids watch programmes that they want to watch that have been dubbed in Irish, it makes it so much easier to take in everything. And it's one of the things maybe that AI is going to make easier. So, you know, now in the past, if somebody, you know, if you had a kid who was a Trekkie and if they watch it in Irish, obviously they're inadvertently learning Irish. They can't help themselves but learn Irish. But it used to be that you had to have a series of actors who would dub it.
Oh, yes. And now, RTE, for instance, translating Peppa Pig at huge cost. Don't now, even mention AI taking cost out of RTE. Perish the thought.
Yeah, and AI will definitely make all that, make that so much more achievable at a fraction of the cost.
Mm. Let's move on. Because he's here to talk DIY and Alice.
Sometimes.
Alice in Abbey Leaks has
Alice, who the hell is Alice? Yes. Sorry.
She has a wooden worktop that's about 6 years old and has lost its original finish. And she's wondering if there is a varnish she could use to restore it.
Absolutely not. So if you have a wooden worktop in your kitchen, so now, they were rarely used in around the sink area, but in my opinion, they should never be used around the sink area. Sometimes they would be, but you'd often see them in an island unit, you know, where you have this thick, 2-inch thick piece of block timber. So it's not a solid piece of timber generally. It's generally little blocks. Looks a little bit like parquet flooring in that it has all these individual pieces in it. And that should only ever be oiled. If you put a varnish on it, it scratches easily, it gets marked easily. It's if you use, say, a knife, if somebody puts something with a knife or something hot on it or whatever, all these things leave marks. And then when you want to redo it, you have to sand every last bit of varnish off and there's dust going to the clouds and it's a big, big job. So all you ever do with this is you just rub in worktop oil or Danish oil. Danish oil, you'll get it in every paint and hardware shop in the country. Now, the real secret is, and Alice doesn't say how bad it is. So it hasn't been done in 6 years. Depending how much use the kitchen gets, it could be quite bad. So what you will do in this case is, and everybody that has a kitchen worktop, if you can think of oiling it before it really needs to be oiled, it's a 5-minute job. But if you leave it too long, it becomes a big job. So it hasn't been done in 6 years. The very first thing you do is just wash everything down with methylated spirits. So not white spirits, really important. Sometimes people get them mixed up. The purple one. You're washing it down with methylated, the purple spirits. And that's because it's in the kitchen. There's been everything under the sun, mayonnaise, vinegar, you know, everything under the sun wiped off. But when you wipe something off, you don't really remove it all. And being, so the oil seals it, but if it hasn't been done in 6 years, it's now quite porous. So the vinegar, which is an acid, goes down into it. And then when you put an oil on top of it, it reacts to it. So what you do is wipe everything out with methylated spirits, and then the first coat, this is only if it hasn't been done for a long time, the first coat you put on with 4-0 steel wool, really super fine steel wool, and that works the oil into the grain. And the rule of thumb would be that you would do this 3 or 4 nights in a row. And just the only reason you do it at night is it has all night then to dry off before someone comes down and puts something on it. And you're putting the lightest coat possible, but you're putting it on 4 or 5 times. Putting on one heavy coat will not work. You'll destroy it. You'll have to sand it all off again. So it's just a light rub. Last thing before you go to bed, get up in the morning. It's fine. Following night, you're doing the same thing again. If it's really bad, the first 2 coats will go on with steel wool. And then each coat after that, just rubbed on with a rag and left overnight. That's it. And once you build that coat back up again, you better, it looks fantastic and it's protected.
Captain Matt says, Will, I'm surprised you haven't called Mr. Clunan a batoch.
Okay.
That's a Star Trek reference that only Trekkies will get.
All right.
It means you're very handsome.
Oh, yeah, okay, I'll take that.
Mm-hmm. You batoch.
I suspect it does not mean that.
Granny says, do you remember making a paste with flour to hang wallpaper?
Yeah, that was done. Yeah, that was.
It's something she did as a girl.
Yeah. I was in someone's house recently, and she makes these most fantastic crochet angels. So she has this crochet angels that she has made, you know, and you can imagine it's incredibly detailed. And it actually is a little bit like, you know, the thing that you'd see sometimes in the house that sits over a toilet roll on top of the toilet to hide the toilet roll. It's a little bit like that. But she crochets the material, and then she soaks them in hot water and sugar, and then the whole thing firms up, and then you put a tea light in under it, and it looks amazing. But again, it's the old-fashioned way. It's done with sugar and water, which is a stiffening agent in its own right, and it looks fantastic. But so like that, the glue, like everything that was used like that years ago, things have moved on, so everything has become more improved. Than the problem with the flour was it did very often come off. If it got a little bit of steam in a room or if the wall was damp, it would fall off. So you constantly were going back and redoing it and redoing it.
Jim in Portlaoise says his white PVC windows and doors have yellowed, but they're also dull and dirty as a result of the winter. So he wants to restore them to their original look when eventually the weather improves. In 2028.
Yeah, look, PVC, no more than everything outside. I don't know of anything in Ireland outside that doesn't deteriorate quite quickly, and particularly in the winter that's been in it, where you have so much algae. So if there's algae on it, just kill off the algae first. It is always better to kill the algae before you wash it off. And the first thing you always do then is just wash it off with warm soapy water. 9 times out of 10, that's actually all it needs. So the deposit that makes it look dull can just be dust. You know, you park your super expensive, shiny car outside for a year, it's going to look, even something as magnificent and expensive looking as that, even something like that will dull down over the year with the deposit of grime and dust and everything sitting on top of it. So when you wash it off with warm, soapy water, in the same way as if you go through the car wash, you know, your 100,000 €1,000 car that looked dull and grimy will now look like it's worth the money again. So the same thing with the PVC guttering and downpipes. If you just wash them with warm soapy water, it's amazing how well they come up. Now, I would always say use a nylon scouring pad as you're doing it. It's much better than just a sponge. And then see, do you need to do any more? So if it still doesn't look great, and particularly with yellowing, you may need to use a PVC restorer, and that is a cream. Now that takes elbow grease, so you need to decide how strongly do I feel about this, because it's a bit like polishing a car. You know, if you polish one door on your car,
you commit. You have to do it all.
You have to do it all. So how strongly do I feel about it? How bad is it? Will anyone else notice it? And if no one else is going to notice it, or if you have plenty of time in your hands and you're quite content to do a portion a day, you know, I give it an hour a day for a week, you do an awful lot in 7 hours or 5 hours. So decide that, but always warm soapy water first and just see what happens.
If that reference to a €100,000 car was an oblique dig at me, it's worth about 30 grand shining. And it's far from shining, I can assure you.
Mr. Fix It, thanks to Bright Ideas. Call in and see our impressive displays at Talbot Avenue, Athlone, or see brightideas.ie.
Brian Clunan is here from Clunan's Hardware in Tullamore, and James recommends Jif to restore PVC back to its brilliant white colour. He says you wash it straight away after applying the Jif.
Is that the original old-fashioned cream Jif? So that'd be quite similar. All those.
This is a case of you show your age Sif. If you remember yes. Jif instead
Sorry.
Of
What's
Sif.
What's Jif? Sorry, what is Jif? I have no idea what Jif is yet. Yeah, if it's the old-fashioned Jif, which would have been the cream. So that was a slightly abrasive thing, which is quite similar to what the PVC people would be recommending. By the way, a colleague of yours who has worked under you and obviously is a fluent Klingon speaker suggested you should be called a topa, which is an incompetent person in Klingon.
Incompetent topa.
No, that's a double. So it's the topa is enough. That just means you are an incompetent. I couldn't possibly comment, obviously.
Well, if he's a true Trekkie, he would know that.
Are you saying it's a he?
I know exactly who it is, and only a Varul would use such language in public. A listener in Athlone walks her son to school every morning and says, dog fouling on the footpaths is becoming well and truly disgusting. So to those people in Athlone who walk pets, please bring your poop bags with you. Kids are stepping into this, and we all know the harm and problems dog poo can cause. Well said.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it becomes an issue in bursts. And I think it's maybe that local authorities clamp down and then relax and clamp down and relax.
What
they
is,
need to clamp down again.
What is, and I have no idea, but what is the legislation? So I'm I'm driving down the road. I'm driving down the road and I see Will walking his dog and the dog is taking a big dump and then Will watches it and walks away. If I was to video that and share it, what is that, is there... So in other words, you know the way there's a parking, there's a thing, if I park badly, which I did many years ago, the picture came up on bad parking in Ireland, whatever it was. You know, if there was
I know the law has changed, so county councils can now use CCTV.
Okay. So my point being, if there was, even without the prosecution, the court of public opinion, you know, if there was a site, a forum... Whereas if you see this happening, you video it and share it. You know, I won't park badly again. It was shared once. Now, in my defence, I was running into Dunn Stores. There was 100 car parking spaces. It was 6:02 and I wanted to grab one item and I pulled in and parked badly. But I won't do it again.
Well, I'm sure the privacy police would be out in force after you. But, now this is a personal view, I would take the angle that you're just filming the footpath, and if somebody happens to incidentally be on there with a dog taking a crap, you know, share and share alike. It's the comment that's made after it. That's what
it's such a horrible thing to do to just walk away from it.
I like how you're thinking, by the way. Well, I remember.
And actually, sorry now that we've put that out there, what would it be called? We just let the listeners just think about that. What would you call the dog poop website? I don't know what it's called. There must be something catchy we could come up with.
Poop Patrol.
Yeah, there you go. There's a start.
Instead of Paw Patrol. Do you know, I do this in the don't interrupt me now with so many questions.
You really should clean up your crap if you're crapping in the garden. It's really not fair to anybody. I know people find it liberating to pee in the garden, but pooping in the garden is just taking it too far.
So we have two dogs.
Yes.
And particularly the Chocolate Lab makes sizable deposits.
Yes, yeah.
And I'm just wondering, are my dogs the only ones who behave like this? When I get the shovel to remove it, it's fantastic entertainment. They start barking. They want me to throw it. I'll always throw it in the hedge.
Right.
But they salivate. You know, they say the entertainment is shit. It literally is. Anyway. Will, I remember when the edges of wallpaper had to be trimmed on one side. Also, being brought up on a farm in the 60s, AI meant a totally different thing, since we are in the mood for reminiscing.
Yes, so I spoke to a customs officer in Ireland, not a passport control or customs, I can't remember which, but kind of the purpose of the visit came up, and the guy was, he said, I'm here to go to an AI conference. And your man was from a farming background. And he launched into a whole thing about, you know, the Irish, what we would associate with AI. This is 5 or 6 years ago. And the American professor really was not impressed at all. I had no idea what he was talking about. But he was talking about one type of AI, and the American professor of artificial intelligence just had no idea what he was talking about.
Well, what I hate, a few years ago, we actually won an award, a radio award, when I artificially inseminated a cow at the National Ploughing Championships.
Wow.
But our intrepid producer, when she tells the story, she leaves out the artificial. Get back to DIY rapidly, please. Oh, and a listener would suggest if the traffic warden, or rather litter warden, is on the way to Athlone about the dog poo, they should pop off in Clonisslea on the way. Because, again, real problems with dog poo on paths, but also in front of houses and being left at people's gates, which they are understandably not impressed by. Linda in Portlaoise, to whiten up PVC, she recommends the pink stuff, which is widely available, and she sent us a picture. That's the product name.
Yeah, I haven't used it, but I've heard of it. I don't know what's in it that makes it work, but it's definitely worth trying.
And another listener says, if you photo an offender producing the dog dirt, then do act and send it through to Laois County Council and they will be able to prosecute. It will be evidence. Let's see if they put that into practice. Hopefully they will.
Mr. Fix-It on Midlands 103 with Bright Ideas Lighting, Talbot Avenue, Athlone. Official stockists of Laura Ashley Lighting and Mirrors. See our dedicated Laura Ashley boutique in store. brightideas.ie.
Poogate. That's a recommendation on your new website, Brian.
Poogate.
Talkingcrap.com. Yes, I think we can.
Yeah, talkingdogcrap.com. Yeah.
That's no, well, that's debatable. A listener in Kinnity complaining of the very same issue. Anya says, we have beautiful new paths recently installed and they have been already fouled with large dog poo. It is littering in the most disgusting way. So I say, photograph away.
Yeah, I would regularly now, I'd say once a month, we'd go out to the front of the shop with a kettle boiling water and a yard brush to brush away dog poo.
You should all right, okay. I was about to say, you should give your staff a toilet. Well, if vapes had a deposit return scheme, that would help enormously when it comes to littering. Good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea. Or just ban disposable vapes altogether.
Yeah, I think ban disposable vapes because, I mean, they're so dangerous as well when they are disposed of because they have, they have ignition material in it. I mean, the suggestion, there was a fire in a plant recently and suggestion was that it could have been just one single disposable vape that caused the whole thing.
Let's get back to DIY.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Peter has a lot of ivy, which he has pulled from the gable end wall of the house, did so last Sunday. And there are thousands of little suckers left behind, which he now needs to remove because he hopes to paint the house when eventually the weather improves in 2028.
Yeah. So I suppose the first thing is I'd always say if time is on your hands, which obviously it wasn't in this case, you should probably always try and kill the ivy before you take it down. So if you did that, the chance of doing damage, the problem with ivy is it's a very tenacious plant and it can damage the wall trying to pull it down. It has been known for people to be, while pulling the ivy, to take it and plaster with it. And then you have a bigger problem. But in this particular case, you have tendrils. Peter's calling them suckers. They're little tendrils. We've all seen it where the ivy has been removed and there's all these little, they're like almost like little branches, which is what they are, stuck to the wall. Tiny little pieces. They'll all be half the size of a matchstick, but incredibly difficult to get off. And the only way that I've come across, and it does work and it works really well, is to get somebody with a blowtorch to burn them. So you're actually setting them on fire. Now, I'm not suggesting you go out with, a little cigarette lighter and burn one and burn two and burn three. But if you know somebody, and many builders will have them, a roofing blowtorch. So a roofing blowtorch attaches to your your normal calicoes and gas yellow cylinder, and it heats a huge area of roof in double quick time. It's used for burning the pitch on the roof or drying off the roof if you are putting down a thing. So where the flame comes out would be about 3 or 4 inches in width. So as you run it across the wall, you're setting every tendril on fire. And then what happens is when the tendril burns out, it becomes an ash, basically. And then you would then leave it for about a week and then power wash it. And as always, any time you're power washing, and in this case in particular, try and power wash in wet weather or after rain, because everything will be softer, everything will come off more easily. But that will work really well, because you can't just paint over those tendrils. If you do, when they start to break down and rot and die, then they will flake off, but they'll carry the paint with them. So you have to make sure that you have removed all those tendrils before you do it. And that's the only way you'll successfully do it, that I know of.
Josie in Mullingar says, the curtain pole in our sitting room has just fallen down off the wall. And it is the second time it has happened. And we reckon the 4-year-old swung out of it at some stage. It's because the walls are dry lined and we've tried different curtain poles on the window, not having success.
Yeah. So, no, this is actually a regular enough occurrence. So a curtain pole only has 3 fixing points, one either end, one in the middle. Mm. And if you take the weight of the pole itself plus the weight of the curtain, and then, you know, when you pull a curtain, you put all your effort into it and you pull it back, you're dragging it back. And when you get to the end, when it's open, you know, you don't let go exactly the moment that it gets to the end. So there's pressure on it. So it might not mean the child at all, but it could have been. When you fit a curtain pole to dry lining, you're fixing it to sponge. So dry lining is brilliant. I'm a huge advocate of dry lining. It's a great way of insulating a house. But it's foam. It's sponge. There's no substance to it. Like yourself, there's no substance to it whatsoever.
Thanks.
So what you need to do is you need to go right through the dry lining to the wall behind. So you simply get what's known as a frame fixer. It's designed for fixing, or anything like that. A frame fixer is designed for fixing a piece of timber frame architrave to a wall. And so what you'll be doing is the dry lining will be probably 40 mil of foam insulation, and then 10 mil of plasterboard on top of that. So you take your interior wall, I want to insulate it, so you just stick this slab to the wall. And it's genuinely just stuck onto the wall, or sometimes there's a mushroom fixing on it that keeps it in place. But there's no substance to it. So you need to drill right through. So you're going to get a drill bit that is longer than 50 mil. So the drill bit is going to be 70 or 80 mil. And then it goes right through the dry lining, right through the plasterboard, through the dry lining, and into the wall itself. And then you get this frame fixer, which is basically just a long raw plug and screw. So it's a 70 or 80 or 90 mil raw plug and screw. But it's just designed that you just drill in, attach and go right through. And then because of that, you have 3 fixing points in a curtain pole, usually just two holes on the little round bracket that fixes to the wall. So you have to make sure when you're buying your frame fixer that it's only a 6 mil or maybe an 8 mil. So I would always say go into your local hardware shop or builders providers, but bring that little bracket from the curtain pole and make sure that the frame fixer you're getting goes through the hole. And then it's a very straightforward job. The hole is already there. You've already drilled the hole, but it only went into the dry lining. So drill right through the hole and it'll fix no problem whatsoever.
Brian, thank you very much.
Are we done?
Yes, out of time. You can find him at Clunan's Hardware in Tullamore or next Wednesday here on Midlands 103.